Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, it's Royce Unchained here, presented by Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk Investment Consultant. And we'll get to whatever you want to get to here, Pat, in the next 20 minutes or so. But I was on a Talking Twins podcast with Liam, a YouTube Twins channel. Okay. And I think it's posted today. And we were talking about the season. And he asked, who is a player, a young player, that you think has a chance that no one's really talking about? And you spent a few weeks down in Fort Myers. One of the guys I said was Matt Cantorino at some point. He's obviously starting at AAA.
Well, Matt Cantorino. Now, guess what? He got hurt again.
He's hurt.
He's got
What's his injury now?
Something in his shoulder. It's a pull. It's not a like a surgical thing, but there's some. I talked to the guy. He's great. He never gives up. He's a great guy. He never gives up any hits when he plays and, you know, when he pitches. But he's pitched 85 innings since getting drafted in 2018, I believe. And there's some suspicion, 2019, but there's some suspicion that he can always find an injury. And I kind of talked to him about that when I talked to him. I said, you know, you got to stay – you know, you got to prove to them you can stay healthy, because he just basically went 2 years without pitching because of Tommy John. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
He took all last year, and he followed Paddock around for like a year down there. He's lived in Fort Myers, basically, rehabbing constantly. But you're right. If he can get healthy, he's a much higher up prospect than Festa and Simeon Woods Richardson and these guys. But he can't, you know, he's once again, he had just some kind of a pull on his shoulder.
Shoulder strain.
Shoulder strain, whatever mm-hmm. the hell that is. So
maybe he winds up being I don't know if he's going to have 150 to 170 innings of future load on his arm, but maybe he winds up being a bullpen guy. I mean, he strikes out 14 batters per nine innings in his minor league career so far.
I think going into this spring, they once again had hope for him as a starter, but I got a hunch getting shut down again. They're going to start looking at him as a reliever probably because he's got that kind of stuff. And I don't think he takes an extra long time to warm up or anything. He's a big personality, talks all the time. I go back to that batting practice thing. I saw him in 2020 or whatever it was. They had him and Winder pitching to all the regulars who didn't make this trip. And every pitch he threw was a conversation afterwards, asking for feedback and stuff like that. That's the kind of personality he is. But damn, I tell you what, they've had a bad spring for healthy pitching, haven't they? Yeah. Wow. Although the disc of Feeny thing has been
Don't worry about it anymore.
Been crap not from gonna, the not start. Gonna pitch it. It was crap from the start. I see where Twins should not sign pitchers with an injury history. Well, you're right about that, but they had to take him. What it tells us is there wasn't much of a market for Jorge Polanco, was there?
Well, they also, they wanted Gabriel Gonzalez, right, the prospect, and they wanted the Justin Topa, the reliever. Those are the two main things, and the Mariners are like, this feels a little imbalanced still, so can you take on some of this guy's contract?
You need to take up $4 million here on this guy, so that's what they did, basically, the difference. And that, but as we've talked about, the Giants made Seattle take him to take Robbie Ray, so... You know, but this idea that, he was counted on as a fifth starter, crapola. I reported this one to you two guys yesterday, or 2 days ago, though, that Louis gave up 9 hits, 8 runs in 4 innings, and Morey was assuring us it was a good thing because you have to struggle a little bit in spring training.
Get it out of your system, yeah.
I hope Provis put a stop to that crap. Yeah, he's our only hope.
He did.
Don't brainwash Corey. Don't do it.
Well, he actually kind of raised the topic at first, but then he didn't keep babbling on it.
Why can't it be that
I don't know,
he struggled and it's not the best thing?
No.
And hopefully he fixes the things that, like, why does it have to be this grand spin into something?
About saying, wow, yesterday they declared him as the fifth starter, and today he gave up 9 hits and 8 runs. And then get on with your life.
We don't need to lie about it. Yeah.
Although Tony the Pony, we this is distracted, but Tony the Pony hit a new standard for kissing up that on Twitter that Judd saw it. I saw it before. Judd sent it to me before I sent it to him. But the loss was much closer than that. And
he didn't even call the game. He was at home tweeting his steak filet.
Yeah.
He didn't even call the game. The most glorious thing was the last two games were national games, so we didn't have to listen to that crap, but then he felt necessary to get on Twitter.
Come out and make an excuse for them long distance. I said, it's one thing when you're on the broadcast to blow smoke, you know, because to keep your job, you got to blow smoke with the Wild. But you don't have to do it long distance when they get their ass kicked 6-0, for God's sakes. What the hell is
If you're
going
two
on?
Time zones away, it's late at night, you just, you know what?
Enjoy
they
the
got
play.
Beat. They got beat, okay.
Enjoy those great potatoes.
I've really let myself get worked up about stuff that should not, because the fact that I was at the women's basketball thing and then the men's basketball thing, and every question comes with an answer that, you know, don't answer your question, have them answer your question, but you give them the 30 second, you know, explanation. Did this, and is, are we right? This is you got this great team and everything. I mean,
Coach, you suffered a devastating loss last night, but here's a bunch of reasons why that probably was the case, right?
Yes, that's true. I don't know. Drives me crazy. Anyway.
So actually, speaking of explaining away losses, I know that for a long time, Duke and Mike Krzyzewski were you would hate watch college basketball games.
Yeah.
I am there with John Calipari now. I'm so happy that team lost again last night.
Yes.
And he's asked about it, you know, hey, John, you know, a tough loss to another double-digit seeded team. And he is a master at throwing 19-year-old kids that he recruits. He brings in 19-year-old kids saying, we're going to change your family's lives. You're going to be an NBA player after 1 year. And then he throws them under the bus for being inexperienced against an older Oakland, Michigan team.
Because they're professionals. You know, he's got professionals. But I got I went out. I think we must have been getting a Final Four or something. Because I went out and was doing this stuff around the country. And I spent 2.5 days at UMass, right? When he was young and good looking and BSing. And he had a reporting crew. I'm going to be sexist about this, but they were all women, you know, they were all, you know, young women that were his reporters, one from Boston, one from Hartford, and one from out there. And he had them so charmed, it was unbelievable. He could get away with murder back then. And of course, they ended up, that got vacated, right?
Final four. Yeah. Was it final, Marcus Camby team?
Yeah.
I mean, he had that. But
yeah, he ran think of
what a great recruiter he was to get all these guys to UMass, which had never had a team worth a damn. He was great. But I'm glad you brought that up, because I saw two things yesterday that made me realize again the evil side of NIL. Kentucky, those players don't give a damn. They think they're not going to play defense. They're getting underpaid. They want more money. And Kansas, disgusting performance. They end up beating Stanford, but they don't give a diddly damn of what self's telling them in the huddle. And they have no emotion. They're all mad because they aren't getting more money. You can see that they figure Kansas, I'm going to Kansas, I should get paid more than I am. I mean, they do not give a damn. They couldn't care less. Samford, I mean, it's one thing to lose to Oakland. By the way, isn't that the coach that's been there 40 years, the guy at Oakland?
Yeah.
85, I think, or something like that.
That's not Oakland, California, though, right? It's Oakland.
No, it's a suburb of
their star player, though, is the greatest story of all. He looks like he's 36. He looks like he was taken out of the 90s. Like, everything about him screams.
Have you heard his backstory? So he was a Division II player for 4 years, and he was a good Division II player, and he decides, I'm going to enter the transfer portal and play, because there's 400 Division I schools
Yeah, right.
One team showed interest in the transfer portal, and it was Oakland.
Oakland, right.
And he winds up shooting, 50% from three this season. He hits.
Was that the guy that made the 10 threes?
Yes, he was 10 for 20, all 3-point shots.
He took four twos all season long.
Yeah.
Really?
Four two-point shots.
Well, that tells you how disinterested Kentucky is. After he's made about six, isn't somebody going to guard him, for God's sake?
He was coming off screens, and his body was twisted sideways.
Smoking a cigarette and shooting, though.
Yeah, that's the greatest part of somebody should pick him up and get in his face. You got these, they got these five-star guys making $300,000. Can't anybody put an arm in front of them, for God's sakes? They don't care.
It's funny. I saw a great tweet about that kid, the Division II kid we're talking about. I'm paraphrasing, and I don't remember who tweeted it, so I'm stealing it from them. But the reason you love March Madness is because every year, someone who's going to be your accountant in five years lights it up and becomes a hero.
Yep. Oh, the first round is more fun than the rest of it, because those teams always get beat in the second round. And, there's three or four of them. But, Kansas could have went down to this Samford team easier than hell, and they wouldn't have cared. It was they've had a lot of injuries and stuff, but I never saw a team with less. I watched most of that second half, and they had no emotion whatsoever. They did not care. Some of the checks must have bounced or something, because, Self's amazing, though, that he survived. They basically had all the evidence in the world on them when they – they sacrificed one or two of their assistants, right? And the FBI investigation.
Those guys beat the FBI, though. That's the incredible thing. How do you beat the FBI?
I don't know. The guy at Arizona, Miller. They got him on tape saying, what's it going to cost me, $100,000? And joking about it. But now that's not a violation. Right.
So, bring back Clem. I keep saying it. Poor Clem. Bring Clem back Clem. Give him the job back.
Yeah, well, Clem would hate this, though, because Clem was kind of like Fleck. He was always looking for his own raise. He wasn't worried about the player. So, I don't know.
Kansas, real quick, the last time Kansas didn't go to the NCAA tournament was 1983.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Larry Brown. I was there when Larry Brown won the national title and beat Oklahoma.
Danny Manning was on the coaching staff. He mysteriously got a job.
Yep. Danny and the Four Reasons were, it was a mediocre team, but I was there. But there were rumors, Larry Brown, that day of the championship game, was on the phone with UCLA seeing if he wanted to go back or not. He could not stay anywhere. You know, he was amazing. But yeah, that was a great Oklahoma team. But that Billy Tubbs couldn't coach. He couldn't coach at all. But Stacy King and that crew, that was you know, a Big Eight title game, basically.
So Pat, the Vikings today just sent out a release, the 2024 coaching staff. Entire coaching staff has been set. Care to guess at a number?
Well, last year we had 22, coaches. but we added three, I saw, on offense. So I'd say 26.
Oh, it's so good. 27.
27.
We're up to 27 now.
Some of the titles are hilarious. Yeah, so we have a passing game coordinator, a game management coordinator, another passing game coordinator. And these are not like, these are separate than the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach. We've got multiple positional assistants, assistant to the receivers, assistant to the offensive line.
Regional manager.
Yeah.
What do we have? We got O'Connell coaching the quarterbacks, and then we got a quarterback coach, but we also last year had an assistant quarterback coach. We got more help with the quarterbacks or not? Did we get another? Did we add one in this thing? I love the titles about, baseball's doing it too, though, with the guy like run production specialist. I thought that was the hitting coach.
you know, that should be Aaron Judge, actually. He's the run production specialist.
Yes, that's true. So I was reading up more today on this Ohtani thing. Somebody's lying.
Yeah, you think so?
you cannot. Baseball, I don't think, I heard, I was actually just reading this. I heard Manfred, I got up and watched the game on the first one. And Manfred was very low key. And, for a year now, he's been taking bows about the speed up rules and everything and how he invigorated the game. And he sounded very low key, like he was drugged or something. He knew what was coming, baby, the next day.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't want to get too far out over his skis about what a great thing is. But
now the other controversy this week is we're seeing some of these plays come out, the sliding into second base, you can't block any part of the base, and these normal-looking plays.
Now, Rocco talked about that still in February, that it was going to have to be egregious. But I told him, I said, listen, you tell these umpires that they can call this, and they can, that Angel Hernandez can call this and be a hero, be a star, and get some attention. Once they start it, they can't stop it. And, you can't trust the umpires to not try to make themselves the show. And
Lindor put his glove down in front of the base into a guy sliding to just tag him. The umpire stops the game. Whoa. That's the interference. You can't do that. Like he literally put his glove.
What did he want him to do?
I have no idea.
Supposed to be if you dropped a knee in front of him.
Yeah. No, he didn't do that, really.
You can't block the base with your glove that's holding the ball and have him slide into it. That's illegal.
That's going to definitely increase stolen bases. if you can't tag them, that's going to really. I knew they'd screw it up. I told Rocco, I don't think it'll be that bad. I said, you're giving these guys way too much credit. They can't wait to run out. I said Dan Bellino can't wait to run out there and make an ass out of himself.
Interpretation coordinator Patrick Royce. We just got you a job on the Twins. You're the rule interpretation coordinator.
Yes. They're gonna do it though. They're gonna have to, like, a month into it, say, okay, that this isn't working. And that's when they did the blocking the plate. They had a couple guys who were like out by 25 feet, and somebody had a foot in front of the bag when he was 25 feet up in the line. They called him safe, you know, that's because they, you know, it's, I hadn't realized that they'd gone nuts with it. I guess I haven't been following it enough, but I'm not surprised that they, so I gotta go. I can find the video of the Lindor play then.
Yeah. Just go on Twitter and type in like Lindor.
So
and
what does baseball say after it? What are they saying?
I don't think they've commented on it yet, but it's just, it's just,
they had things working and wait till, how about the great one today? The thing for the NFL.
The hip drop tackle. Yeah.
The hip drop tackle. We're not going to enforce it during the game, probably. Right. But we're going to steal your money on Monday, okay? That's what they're telling them. So we're going to fine you for you're not going to get penalized. You're going to be home on Tuesday morning, and you're going to be told we want $50,000 from you. Yeah. They're thieves. The NFL is thieves. You know, and what is the new – I am not going to be able to handle the new kickoff. I don't know what's going on. Is this official now?
Is it official?
It's going to get passed, though.
Next week, it's going to be passed.
So the defense is going to have to stand at the 50 until the ball hits the ground?
There's a zone, but correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like goal line to the 15 or 20-yard line. It's like a zone that you're aiming to kick the ball into. If it goes through the end zone,
you're going to kick it over the end. Then it's coming out to the 35.
To 35. Yep.
So they're going to try not to have guys kicking it in the stands then, right?
But they also don't want teams like for decades running full speed down the field. So this is their way of, if everyone is lined up, and I don't think it's the 50. I think it's like the 35 or 30.
Who came up with this? Excuse me. Bull crap. Who came up with this?
I thought this was the XFL tried something along the same line.
It's a modified version of the XFL, yeah.
Mm-hmm. God almighty.
Now, I like the old XFL one from 25 years ago where they put the ball at the 50 and take two guys from either end and they just run at the ball and they wrestle for it. That's. Let's just go back to that.
Or collide head on and both get concussed. Yes. So then
both unconscious,
so
now, yeah.
But I'm going to have to start. I'm going to have to go from a standing start, right? Then.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to get killed then, right?
Well, no, both teams are standing. Right. It's like you're both at the line of scrimmage.
That's not football. That's not football, you morons. That's not football. We have collisions in football. What are you going to do? It's stupid.
It might be a one. I need to see it, I guess. But it might be a one-year experiment.
It's a one-year trial, for sure.
Okay.
But the defense is starting from the 50. Is that right?
I think it's further up.
Yep, I think
that's right. But they also didn't do anything. Then I can tell them it's an onside kick, and then we go back to the old way. Is that right?
You have to declare an onside kick if you're going
to
do it.
I have to declare an onside kick instead. So we can't try to fool them then, huh?
No, and it's like since because they tweaked that rule a few years ago where you couldn't get a running start, and that eliminated any chance.
Yes, right.
Yeah, I think the 4th and 15 got submitted again by the Eagles.
That's the best one for the onside kick.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree with you.
Chris Long and Phil Mackey invented that 10 years ago on 1500 ESPN radio. Give us our proper credit.
Yeah. But when you fail on 4th and 15, then we get the ball where you were then when you started.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know. I play the game. You know, you play football. You're going to get concussions. You're going to die at 58. Let's just go with it, okay? I mean, how many lives have we saved with this? You know, they're still dying at age 58, and they can't walk at age 37. So it's football.
And, Pat, speaking of safety, you know what has great safety features? Cars from Valley Auto Group.
That's right. I was just looking it up, baby. If you want a big old truck, the Sierra GMC's trucks, and these are big, great trucks, 1.9% for 36 months, 2.9% for 72 months.
Wow.
And these things are monstrous, and people love them, and they're good looking, and they got a full stock of them out at Jim Paul and Brett Paul's Valley Group of GM dealers, Apple Valley, Hastings, got all kinds of the Envision SUV. You can get a great deal on that, 0.9%. And they got the smaller SUVs. Also, a lot of stock and good prices, low interest rates right now. And what the heck? Let's go here. Come on. You need a new vehicle to get through all this snow we're getting this weekend.
Right.
Yeah, the snow, we might get 6-8 inches this weekend. I think that might help SUV sales. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jim Paul, Brett Paul, Valley Group of GM dealers, Apple Valley, Hastings, my guys for over 10 years.
All right, Pat, enjoy your weekend. Be careful shoveling out there.
You guys have already ruined my weekend with the...
I think you got worked up
with
again.
With the play on second. I told Rocco should listen to me. Rocco, don't tell...
Like I said,
don't
give you John.
Don't trust these SLBs. They're going to screw it up. They're going to enjoy it. They don't get to argue with you anymore. They don't get to throw you out of the game because we got all these replay stuff. So they can be complete asswipes and, you know, by making these calls. Because they want to argue with you and they want to throw you out of the game because they're a bunch of idiots. So anyway, that's just my opinion. See ya.
All right, thanks, Pat. Sounds good. All right. That's Royce, truly unchained here on Score.